Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4b. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
My title this morning is Through the Valley. This is the fourth in our Psalm 23 series, fourth of eight. And we have seen the first three verses of Psalm 23 are quite encouraging. The Lord is my shepherd, not simply the shepherd or a shepherd, but my shepherd, personal to us, to all those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And as our shepherd, he gathers his people as the flock under his care. He lays down his life for the sheep. He loves us, his sheep, and he cares for us intimately and individually. He is our good shepherd, acting for our best both now and eternally. As his sheep, he gives us all good things. We shall not be in want. We shall lack nothing that is necessary for our good, nothing needful. He takes us to the green pastures for feeding and rest, and he leads us beside quiet waters where we find peace. It says he restores our souls, speaking of regeneration. And as we heard last week, he leads us and we follow him as his disciples, as his obedient sheep. He leads us into righteousness and on the path of righteousness. This is speaking about obedience to his word. It is all for our good, and it is all for his glory. And so we can fulfill our purpose, our God-given purpose, to glorify him and to enjoy him forever because he is our good shepherd. So it's all quite cheery in the first three verses, all good things. And then we hit verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death. It sounds like trouble. It sounds like doom and gloom. Where are all these green pastures and cool waters that we read about before? Where are the paths of righteousness? Where is I shall not want? Well, I'll show you this morning, though, there is no doom and gloom. It is all cheer and hope and light, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And we're told why at the concluding part of our text this morning, for thou art with me. Point number one, the deep, dark valley. We must understand that there is a deep, dark valley. The Bible is the word of God. It is absolutely true and trustworthy. As we're told in 2 Timothy 3:16, it is theopneustos, God breathed, God exhaled, God spoken. It is no mere self-help book. It is not a collection of inspirational sayings or ancient wisdom to give you an emotional pick-me-up when you're feeling blue. No, as God's very word, it deals in truth because our God who spoke it is truth and he cannot lie. John 14, 6. Our God is real, and so he deals in reality, in truth. He tells us the hard reality. There is indeed a valley of the shadow of death. He does not say, look away, dear children. Pretend that it's not there. No, he says, look ahead. The valley of the shadow of death is real, and it is coming, and you are going to go through it. More than that, he tells us the truth about ourselves, that we are responsible for the existence of this valley of the shadow of death, and we are responsible for our need to journey through it. In the beginning, it was not so. There was no valley of the shadow of death. It was all sunshine and gentle showers in God's very good creation. A place he made fit and perfect for the needs of mankind. Man and woman were made in the image and likeness of God. They were without sin. They were without a sin nature. They were without a bent towards evil. They were posse non peccare, possible not to sin. God gave man meaningful and fruitful work to do in his garden creation, working and caring for it as God's under-shepherd without the painful toil that we experience in this life. There was absolute harmony between husband and wife. There was peace and there was plenty, and there was close and intimate fellowship with God face to face, perhaps constantly, but at least it seems from Genesis 3, daily, as God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. There was no such thing as death. There was no mourning and no crying and no pain. But as God's word tells us, man sinned. He rebelled against God's good order and rule. Man and woman distrusted God, asserted themselves, and defiantly disobeyed his command and disregarded his warning. They thought that by disobeying, they would become like God, independent, self-existing, masters of their own destiny, arbiters of right and wrong. Instead, their actions brought sin into the world, and with it, death. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And as God had told them beforehand would happen, they surely died, Genesis 2:17. And ever since that day, man has dwelt in the valley of the shadow of death. What is this valley of the shadow of death? Well, it certainly includes death itself. The certainty of death casts a long shadow over the life of mortal man. Mankind lives his whole existence aware that death is out there somewhere stalking him. Hebrews 2:15 tells us that men live their whole lives in slavery of the fear of death. Man is afraid to die, and he is especially afraid of the judgment to come, where he will stand before the all-knowing, all-holy God and face judgment for every sin he has committed. Hebrews 9:27 and Romans 14:12. Due to this fear of death and judgment, mankind expends incredible effort designing ways to avoid death or at least stave it off as long as possible. So we have all kinds of technology, all kinds of medicine, every health fad. Behind it all is the fear of death. Behind it all is the long shadow of the valley of death. But of course, all these efforts are to no avail. Death cometh still. Aware of this fact, man bends his mind into a pretzel, trying to convince himself and everyone else that death holds no trouble. He posits that death is simply the end. You just stop existing. Or that all people go to heaven. Or that we become spirits in another realm, kind of like this, but a little bit better. Or reincarnation. We just live a different life over and over and over again. It is all a lie, of course, and mankind knows it's a lie. Romans 1:18 through 21 tells us he suppresses the truth that he hates, that he dreads. What man is really doing is trying to avoid the judgment by God that he knows will surely follow his physical death. See, that judgment is the real problem, isn't it? That judgment is the sting of death. Man is not afraid of death per se. That's why he comforts himself by saying there's nothing after death. If there's nothing after death, then death's not really a problem. But he's not afraid of death per se, but the judgment to follow, standing before God, facing God. So man denies this reality. But God, the God of truth, confronts us with the truth here in Psalm 23. The shadow of death is over us, and we will all surely die, every one of us. And the sting of death is there for everyone, for the Bible also tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So the valley of the shadow of death certainly includes death itself, but there is more to this valley than simply death. In fact, an alternative faithful translation is, though I walk through the darkest valley. That may be a better or at least more literal translation. Life has more troubles than mere death at the end. And we will each encounter our share of these troubles. Not all of us will face every trouble, of course, but every one of us will face some of the troubles represented by this darkest valley. Poverty, suffering, abuse, sickness, cancer, disappointment, widowhood. Our parents will die. Our children may die before us. Cherished friends may die too young or prove false. Spouses may prove unfaithful, and our hopes for the future may be dashed. And when that happens, when you're in that valley, it feels very, very dark in the very deep valley. Of course, all of this, too, is a result of that first sin. Suffering and toil and trouble cast us down into the deep, dark valley. And when we are there, we begin to fear, and we begin to despair, and we begin to suffer. But the God of truth does not sugarcoat it for us. He speaks truth to us. He tells us, you will face death at the end, and you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death along the way. We have, of course, many examples in Scripture. Think of the godly man Joseph, thrown into the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery far from home and unjustly jailed. That's a pretty dark and a pretty deep valley, and it ran for a long, long time. Or consider St. Paul, abused for the name of Jesus Christ, flogged, imprisoned, shipwrecked, cast out, slandered, and ultimately executed. Or the godly man Job, whose life was marked by suffering, intense suffering for a period of time. He did not know the reason for his suffering while he was undergoing it, and he did not know if it would ever end. See, God warns us in advance. Suffering is part of the deal. The valley awaits all of us, both the believer and the unbeliever. So in case you thought I was going to tell you, don't worry, you came to Christ and there's no more valley for you, unfortunately not. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. They killed and tortured and crucified the God-man Jesus Christ. He reminded us that they will do the same to his followers. That's us. There is simply no hiding from the stark reality. The valley of the shadow of death is real, and it is a part of this life for every one of us. Point number two, you must walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, it's bad enough that we have to grapple with the reality that this valley is out there somewhere, that it exists. But I have even worse news for you. You must go through it. Indeed, it is personal to you. See, we will all face the common trial of death itself, of course, but its long shadow falls a little bit differently for each of us in this life. Some will suffer great physical pain, such as long-standing or chronic illness. Some will suffer sudden reversal of fortune, while others will never get off the ground in the first place. Some will have cancer, divorce, or apostate children, but others will not. And although all will experience the valley in one form or another, not all will taste it to the same degree or in the same kind of suffering. So the valley exists for each one of us, and we must go into and through the whole measure of it. Notice our text does not say, even though you walk past the valley of the shadow of death, or near the valley of the shadow of death, or around the valley of the shadow of death. But it says through it. And there are no shortcuts through it. There are no side doors out, no helicopters to airlift us over the problem. It reminds me of a nursery rhyme, you might be familiar with it, Going on a Bear Hunt. And the refrain is, can't go over it, can't go under it, can't go around it, gotta go through it. There is a God-ordained suffering for all of us, and there is simply no way to avoid it. Worse still, So you've got to go through it, but worse still, it says you must walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You cannot shorten the time by sprinting through the valley of the shadow of death. You must go through the whole length and breadth of it, and you must do it in God's time and at God's pace. It's going to take as long as it takes. And notice, you must walk through it. You cannot get someone else to do it in your place. And you must walk. You cannot drive through it to make it easier or go faster. You cannot take your Jeep or even your horse to make the hilly or rocky sections more comfortable. You must expend the energy. You must expend the sweat of walking up the steep hills and down the slippery slopes until you have completed the entire journey, the entire trial, the entire distance through the valley of the shadow of death. It is tough and it is scary. It is dark and it is foreboding and it is rough stuff, but you have to do it. You cannot avoid it. There's simply no way. Point number three, a light in the valley. Well, how can I do it? It sounds terrible down there, and it is. It sounds terrible in the dark valley of the shadow of death. We are looking ahead. We're consumed by dread and by fear of it. Perhaps you're in it right now, and you're feeling the dread of the valley of the shadow of death. And yet our psalmist, David, a man who surely knew injustice, toil, fear, and suffering, a man who had been through the valley of the shadow of death, he makes a bold declaration mid-verse, I will fear no evil. Now, how can he say this? He's facing the deepest and darkest valley. He probably wrote this when he was in the deep, dark valley. How can he say this? The answer is because he is not alone in the valley. Because that verse continues, for thou art with me. See, God is with him in the valley. There is nothing to fear down in the darkness of the valley if God is with us. David protected his flock from bears and from lions as a shepherd. And so he knows that his God, the good shepherd, will protect him from whatever terrors lurk behind the shadows and the trees in the dark valley. Oh, the valley is dark, all right, but he went into it and through it with God, with the light of the world at his side. See, we may have to pass through dangerous and scary places in our Christian walk, but there's nothing to fear when we travel that path under the wings of our God, the Almighty. It is like the child who is afraid to go up and get a drink of water in the night because it's dark and scary. But suddenly that fear is banished when we walk down the dark hallway and into the kitchen with Dad. But our God is greater than Dad. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all sovereign. He is all good. He is all holy and he is all mighty. Suddenly there's nothing to fear in that dark valley, for thou art with me. Without him, there is great and terrible and crippling fear in that valley. It's a rational thing. And you should be afraid to traverse it without God. But with him, there is nothing to fear. Why? Because he conquered death already. 2 Timothy 1:10 tells us he destroyed death. He conquered it himself. See, being very God from the beginning, Jesus Christ became a man. He lived a completely perfect life before God the Father, never sinning in thought, word, and deed. He was like us in every way, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. And then he offered himself as a sacrifice in our behalf. He suffered the full wrath of God that we deserve. Remember, I said, the wages of sin is death. I said, we've all sinned. But he took on that suffering. He took on that wrath for us. That wrath was poured out on him instead of us on the cross. And he, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for us. See, as infinite God himself, he could suffer the infinite wrath in our place and fully extinguish it. And then he died the death that we deserve. He took on that payment for us. And because he never sinned, death ultimately had no power over him. It could not hold on to him. It says the wages of sin is death, but he never sinned. Acts 2:24. And he cannot die again. See, death has no mastery over him. It might have mastery over us, but it has no mastery over him. Romans 6:9. So he has nothing to fear in the valley of the shadow of death because he conquered death already. And we have nothing to fear, for he conquered it for us. We will still die, of course, but death is nothing to fear if we are in Christ. Remember, I said the real problem with death is not so much death itself, but judgment, the just punishment for our sin that we know is coming. But Jesus paid it all on the cross for his people already. So as Romans 8:1 tells us, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for he has set us free from the law of sin and death. Put differently, there's nothing to fear in the valley of the shadow of death if we walk with God, if we walk through it with God, if we walk through it in Christ. So all that remains is, how do I go through that valley with God? How can I say, for thou art with me, as David said? And the answer is very, very simple. By faith. Trust in Jesus Christ alone and be set free from the fear of death, from the fear of evil, from the fear of the valley of the shadow of death. This means believing into Jesus Christ, trusting in him alone for your salvation. Bowing your knee to him as Lord, confessing with your mouth, Jesus Lord, Romans 10:9. This is a sincere believing in your heart that he is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. Confessing and renouncing your sins and finding mercy, Proverbs 28:13. And he makes this available to everyone, to all. John 3:16 says he so loved the world that he died, that whoever believes in him will live forever. Romans 10:13 says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's available to all, but you must partake of it. You must cry out, have mercy on me, a sinner. You must trust in Jesus Christ. See, just as no one can walk through the valley for you, no one can trust in Christ for you. You must do it. God will enable you. God will help you. But you must do it. And he is calling you, even today, put your faith in me. You're going to go through the valley. I'll go with you, but trust in me. Answer him, yes, Lord, I believe. And having done so, he will dwell with you. In fact, it says he will dwell in you. In good times, in green pastures, and besides quiet waters, and in tough times, in the valley of the shadow of death. Well, you still have to go through. He doesn't helicopter you over. You've still got to go through, but you go through with God. Go through the valley, but go through it with Jesus Christ, our forerunner. Go through the valley, but go through it with God the Father. Go through with God the Holy Spirit. Stick to him, stick close to him, and follow him through, for he will lead you through on his paths of righteousness. See, obedience to him is the only safe way through. Listen for his voice whispering, this is the way, walk in it, and then walk in that way. And if you do that, you, like our psalmist can say with confidence, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You will no longer need to live in fear of death or dying. It will no longer be the portal to judgment and eternal torment in hell that you should fear. For the Christian, rather, death is a pathway to the very presence of God. My loving Father, a pathway to spend eternity in glorious worship with him and with all the saints of God who have gone before me. Because I go with God and he is with me, death holds no fear for me. It just takes me to a place that I long and desire to go. One more piece of good news about the valley of the shadow of death. I said we must go through it, not around it or over it or under it. I said we must go through it, but we will go all the way through. It does not say you will dwell in the valley of the shadow of death, or that you will wander around it hoping to find some way out. It says you will walk through it. You will get to the other side because thou art with me. He leads us into the valley, but he leads us through the valley and then out of the valley. If we follow our God who leads us on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, we will pass through the valley and we will pass out of it. Whatever we face, this too shall pass if we go with God. Now it's true that God's pathway for us includes some time in the dark valleys, but the point I'm emphasizing is the path does not terminate in the valley of the shadow of death. There is an exit. That path comes out of the valley on the other side. And on the other side are green pastures and quiet waters, warm sunshine and blue skies, peace and rest with God and peace and rest with God's people. In the ultimate sense, of course, this refers to our eternal reward, to heaven, to glory with God forever, worshiping God face to face, worshiping God without the power or the presence of sin. It won't be there to mess things up. Worshiping God with all the departed saints in glory and with no more valley of the shadow of death ahead. Worshiping God, crying hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns, dressed in fine linen, bright and clean, the wedding supper of the Lamb to his church, his bride, in glory forever. Streets of gold, gates of jewels, the river of life flowing free, the glory of God as our light. That's what awaits us on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. And these terms are all superlatives. You may wonder, are there really streets of gold or gates of jewels? I don't know. He's doing his best to describe it the best he can because it's too glorious for words to describe. It is a glory too great to be described in mere human words. That is what is on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death in the ultimate sense. But even in the nearer term, in this life, God will bring us safely through the valley. I said about Joseph, but he didn't stay in suffering and torment and agony forever. Joseph passed through and out of his valley of the shadow of death. Joshua led the people into Canaan, and they had to fight, and it was scary, but God led them through. Moses led the people out of Egypt, and it was scary, but God led them through and into the promised land. God delivered Job. And God will deliver you too if he is with you, if you are with him. So for you, perhaps it will be something else. Perhaps it will be marital trouble or even divorce. He will bring you out of that dark valley to the joy of the Holy Spirit if you walk on the paths of righteousness with him. Perhaps it's illness or physical affliction. The busy season of too many kids and too many things to do, or the season of lamenting and longing for those things since they have passed. He will bring you through if you walk with him on his way, on his paths of righteousness. See, he is with you. Go with him and you will go through. Perhaps it's something else, the loss of your close friend, relational problems, disappointment at work or in some other way. Perhaps it's depression or fear or anxiety. He will bring you through for he is with you. Stay with him. Don't go off looking for some other way out of the valley. Cling to him in that deep, dark valley. Don't give up or wander off for what looks like an easier path. It will simply keep you in the valley for longer. God is leading you. He is leading you on the paths of righteousness, and those paths go out of the valley and into the green pastures and cool waters. He is leading you on his custom-designed path that will rise upward eventually and open on to those green pastures and quiet waters that we long for. The twists and turns and the dark and the trouble are no problem for you, because in the end of that path is glory. In fact, those twists and turns and troubles and problems are designed for your good. For the same God who leads us through promised us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of those who love him and who he has called according to his purpose. That path will lead you at the right time and with the right outlook to those green pastures and quiet waters. Just as he led Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, just as he led them in the desert 40 years, just as he led them into Canaan and through it as super conquerors, so he is leading us as pilgrims in this world, the flock under his care, and we are going somewhere. We're not just wandering around. We're going somewhere with God. We are marching to Zion. We are marching to glory. And he is leading us, ascending on high with captives in his train. Psalm 68:16. Now that valley is no fun. And there are troubles in this life. It is perhaps unpleasant, but it is the way. The way to peace. The way to glory, the way to rest, and the way to life everlasting. The way to the green pastures and the cool waters. If you are in Christ, all that trouble, so-called, is for your good. The good shepherd is leading you and molding you and preparing you and strengthening you. So rejoice in those sufferings also, for he is with you and he is leading you to good and to glory. Are you an unbeliever? Are you one who hasn't confessed Jesus Lord? Are you one who hasn't bowed your knee and confessed with your mouth? Well, even your suffering is for your good in a way, for it points you to him. It leads you to him. If you have not trusted in Christ, then he is not with you in the valley, but he is not far from you in that valley either. Acts 17:27. And he is calling you from his paths of righteousness. He is calling you, come. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened and afraid and anxious and scared in that valley. Come, come, and I will give you rest. You don't have to wander around in that darkness and confusion and misery and suffering anymore. He says, I will lead you and I will lead you out. I will lead you on the paths of righteousness, on the highway of holiness. I will take you to glory itself. Stop groping about in that valley of darkness. Cling to Christ. Bow your knee. Confess with your tongue, Jesus, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Save me, Lord. And he will do it. He promises that he will do it. It's not a vain cry. It's not a flare in the dark hoping that someone sees. He's there. He sees. He's calling you, and he promises that he will respond to your cry of faith, and he always keeps his promises. If we are in Christ, we are not alone in the valley of the shadow of death, nor are we stuck in the valley of the shadow of death. We are simply passing through, walking through, strolling through with no fear, will I get out of here? Yes, you will get out of there because God is with you. We are going with God, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us in the valley of the shadow of death. And not only that, the saints of God march with us through the valley of the shadow of death as well. It was dark in there. And sometimes it seems like we are all alone in the valley of the shadow of death. But it's not true. Not only is God with us, his people are with us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, sometimes we forget that they're there. Or sometimes we can't see them in the pitch black of the darkness of the valley. But the saints of God are with us there all the same, praying for us, bearing our burdens, sympathizing, encouraging, calling us up one step at a time all the way through. Follow me as I follow Christ, they are saying. The flock of beloved sheep belonging to the good shepherd go through together. Their pathways may diverge for a season. You may have to go a little longer path than somebody else, or you might have to take a more circuitous route. We're not all going to reach the lush and peaceful pastures at the same exact time. But we are not alone. We are together. Together to help, together to fellowship, as our Savior leads us all the way, and as he delivers us to the good place that he has prepared for us. So in conclusion, I want to say, suffering is real. Trouble is real. The valley of the shadow of death is real, and we must go through it for real. And likely, we're going to go through it more than once in this life. But God is with us. See, take heart and don't lose courage in the valley. God is with us and he is leading us and he will deliver us safely home. He is the good shepherd. So stick tightly to him and stick tightly to one another and we will make it home. Now, I've been through that valley a couple of times and it's pretty rough going sometimes. And I've been in there on my own, and I've gone through with God. It is better with God, and it is better with all of you. For with God and with his people, there is light in the valley. There is encouragement, and there is hope, and there is joy, and there is assurance, even in the darkness of the valley of the shadow of death. See, darkness may come for a season, but joy comes in the morning. We came through it. There is now joy and there is now hope and there is now peace again for God's people. So brothers and sisters, let us go with God, for he is with us when we are with him. And let us remember this in those dark times, whether that's now or to come. Let us remember this in the depths of the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me. And then let us march on step by step, all the way through to the green pastures and quiet waters of glory. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for this word of encouragement. We have all experienced it in some way. We will all experience it in some way in the future, Lord. Let us discipline our minds. Let us confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and let us remember you are with us. We're not alone and we're not lost. You are leading us to glory. And even if we get lost, you come and you find your lost sheep and you lead them through. Lead us, Lord. Take us to glory with you where we may cry, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Amen.